Welcome to Talk Write Done, the show where we talk about everything you need to know about writing for your coaching or educational business. Whether your work in progress is a blog post, an article, or a book, here you'll find the inspiration, motivation, and expertise you need to help you succeed. I'm your host, writing coach, editor, and applied linguist, Dr. Lissy Tangi, and I'm dedicated to helping business owners like you harness the power of the written word to reach more people and transform more lives. Join me as I chat to writing and publishing experts, as well as business owners at various stages of the writing process. I'm just as interested in getting started and the messy middle as I am in the finished product. So wherever you are in your writing journey, you'll find what you need here. So pull up a chair, pour yourself a cuppa, and let's get started. Simon Severino helps business owners in SaaS and services run their company more effectively, which results in sales that soar. He created the Strategy Sprints method that doubles revenue in 90 days by getting owners out of the weeds. Simon is the CEO and founder of Strategy Sprints, which is a global team of certified Strategy Sprints coaches who help clients gain market share and work in weekly sprints, resulting in fast execution. He is also a Forbes Business Council member, a contributor to Entrepreneur magazine, and a member of Duke Corporate Education. I'm excited to have Simon on the show to talk about his book, Strategy Sprints, 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business, and how his Strategy Sprints methods freed up his time as a CEO and gave him the space and time to write his book.
Okay, hi everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm really excited to have Simon Severino of Strategy Sprints on today. Hi Simon, welcome to the show.
Hey Dr. Lizzie, hey everybody, excited to be here.
Oh, so for those of you who don't know you, Simon, could you tell us briefly about your journey to CEO of Strategy Sprints?
It's a funny journey. 21 years, I started as a management consultant in a large management consultancy. So my job was solving the big problems of executive teams. And the big problems are market problems and, you know, how to run a business and how to win in the markets that they decide to win in. And so you have the side problems, sales, marketing, launches, competitive analysis, planning, hiring, and culture. So that was my thing. I really fell in love with these big problems around time and around cash flow. So, and revenue was in the sweet spot. So I became the revenue guy. Revenue systems is what I did focus on. And now 21 years later, I'm still doing the same thing. But every couple of years, I removed myself one layer from operations, then from marketing, etc. So year by year, and if it's relevant for your audience, we can go deeper into how I did it, in which stage.
Yeah.
Today, the business runs itself. It's a global business. There is a franchise model, a certification model around it. It's super resilient. Whatever happens out there, we can work with it. You know, recessions can come. We are resilient. So whatever happens, this thing works now, and I'm just coming from a very long vacation in our beach house.
Oh, lovely.
And so I have now a good life, was years and years of peeling myself out in phases, out of working in the business towards more working more and more on the business.
Yeah, and I think especially for kind of newer entrepreneurs, I think that's something that we're, you know, quite a lot of my listeners are newer entrepreneurs, and it's kind of being in the weeds all the time. And that idea of at the different stages, how do you get out of that, and when are you ready to do it? I don't know if you could dive into a little bit what you've got in your book. So the 12 ways that you talk about there, something that you think would be useful for our listeners.
Yes, in the book Strategy Sprints, I share my mistakes, what I've learned, case studies, and then also how we apply that, because what I have learned became the 274 templates of the Sprint University. So this is what our current clients use every week to scale their business. And so when they come to us, usually for the 90 days program, their business is very dependent on them. So one of the three goals is to regain 10 to 14 hours per week of their time mm-hmm. by better organizing, automating, systemizing. And then the second goal is after 90 days, we want the business to be less dependent on them. Mm-hmm. So to have really a revenue generating machine that works all the time, and they can focus on their zone of genius, mm-hmm. which usually is a narrow set of activities. So for example, Anthony, who's printed, his zone of genius is speaking on big stages. So now he does mainly that, and he has somebody who runs marketing, somebody who runs sales, and somebody who runs operations. And he has his freedom again. That's the reason why he started his business. He wanted to do more in his zone of genius.
Yeah, fantastic. And I mean, that's something for me as well that I've been learning, is to let go of those things that are, you know, sometimes taking me hours and hours to do. And I think, well, someone else could do this much more easily. For example, editing podcasts.
Yes.
Why do that? Why do I need to learn to do that? I'm never 100%. Going to be the best. So I need to concentrate on what it is that I'm best at. So I'm totally on board with that.
100%.
I'd love to go back to the idea about failure, because this is something for me that, coming from academia, when I started my business, I found incredibly hard to embrace. And I think a lot of my listeners are kind of, you know, perfectionists, that kind of thing, high achievers. But the idea of, and I've heard you talk about before, five fails before lunch. I don't know if you'd tell us something about that and why that's important, and whether you'd be happy to share a failure with us, because I think that would be really inspiring for people. Not to put you on the spot, but...
Absolutely. So I get asked all the time, Simon, how should I deal with failures? If somebody in my team makes a mistake, how should I deal with it, right? What should be the culture around failures? And they mean it in terms of consequences and installing standards for punishment and consequences. And I tell them that my goal is to personally have five mistakes per day. Me, just alone, me, and then my team, I hope that they also do five mistakes every day. Usually this surprises people, because what you want mistakes? Yeah. So first of all, failure, I don't know what a failure is. A failure is just something where you do something, it doesn't work, and you don't learn from it. That's why I've never had a failure in my life, and you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You do mistakes in terms of everything that you do is an assumption. So we use the scientific method. The strategy sprints method is basically the scientific method for how to run a business. Everything that you set up is an assumption. For example, your assumption, I shouldn't edit my podcast videos. That's an assumption. Now, this assumption, we would test it. It takes around 3 hours to test it. You give it to somebody else. You check how easy they do it. And then you learn from it. So either, yes, it's easier for them to do it and you have deployed your time better, then, okay, hypothesis validated, we run with that. Mm-hmm. Or no, mistake, their quality was awful, I wasn't happy. All right, hypothesis not validated, that's a mistake. And I hope that you have these five mistakes per day, that you learn from that. Because if you don't, you are not really exploring the territory around you.
You're really systematic, aren't you, about recording those mistakes and what happens? Do you do that? I know you're very,
That's the strategy sprints method. That's the difference between winning teams and not winning teams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between the teams that will be around after the recession in a year from now. Who will still be around? Well, first, the ones who have a higher liquidity and cash flow. But second, the ones who run more exploratory experiments per week.
Yeah. And it's because that they thing, learn isn't it? More. Doing it rapidly, I think, so that you see the change. And for me, especially, I mean, I know I keep saying about academia, but it's this, you know, in academia, everything is so slow. You know, you've got to put this proposal forward and then it has to go to the, you know, exactly. I can see you shuddering there. This is just audio, but it's like, it has to go through this gatekeeper and this gatekeeper and this gatekeeper. And, you know, in business, it's much faster, isn't it? You get it done, you get it out, you get it. And then you're testing, constantly testing. And it's that speed, I think.
Academia hates me. Whenever we have research projects with universities, and in the first week of that project, it's usually 2 years project where we research something. Last time we were researching improvisational capabilities in organizations. And they hate me because first week I go, all right, we will learn every week from your research. You will report every 7 days about the progress. And they go like, oh no, that happens after every 6 months. I say, okay, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I take my funds out of this research. I'm not paying this research. You can find another donor or investor. I don't know how you call it exactly. But basically, yeah, research with somebody else. Strategy Sprints is out if we don't have every 7 days a progress check and learn from that.
Yeah. Great. And I think people listening might think, oh gosh, sprinting, you know, that sounds stressful. How do the strategy sprints kind of practically free up time for business owners?
I can show you pictures of our clients, how relaxed they are. They are on the beach mainly because now they have a business that runs itself. It's capable of adapting to stuff that pops up surprisingly. And always stuff is popping up surprisingly every day. Mm-hmm. The system is resilient because they have turned their fixed costs into variable costs, and they have found a business model that is truly scalable. So it's not dependent on the founder's time.
Yeah.
Which is a huge problem if your business model is around your time. So your business model needs to be around your value, like what you are solving for your clients. Then you can scale it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. As this is a writing podcast, I'd like to dive in a little bit, and I think it kind of fits in because obviously your methods kind of free up your time so that you had time as a busy CEO to write a book. So could you tell us about how that process worked? You know, how you enjoyed it and what you've got from the book?
I wrote my first and only book. It took me around 17 years to write it. I always wanted to write a book, but I never had time. I was solving problems with teams. So after many, many years of peeling myself out, and then I officially fired myself from operations, then I fired myself from marketing, then I fired myself from sales. Now I had time, 40 hours per week. And I said, okay, now it's the time to write the book. And during the pandemic, I had even more time to write the book. Because I was flying less, right? Everybody was flying less. So it was a team effort. 17 years of field work picking only the tools that really, really move the needle forward for different industries, different teams. So I know they are generalizable. They are like evergreen solutions. Then the second part was teaming up with somebody who actually can write, because I'm a practitioner, I'm not a writer. So I had an editor and I had a publisher, and they were vital to a book that is easy to read.
Yeah. And it is a very easy read, I should say. And definitely.
Yes. And that would have never happened if I was writing it, because an Italo English is the last thing you want to read. Mm-hmm. And a practitioner is not good at explaining things. He's good at doing stuff. So it was really pivotal that they went over multiple rounds of rewriting of many passages until they were actually readable and enjoyable. That was my editor, Cindy. It was my publisher. And that was really important. The publisher was Cogan Page in London, and they also put a ton of experience and of professional skills into it. Then there was a graphic designer who was also key to visualize concepts. And then in the book, my clients describe how it is for them. I wanted to have also their perspective. For example, the foreword is written by one of our clients directly after a sprint, Anthony Iannarino, who is an author himself. He's the author of The Only Sales Book That You Will Ever Need, Elite Sales Strategies, The Lost Art of Closing, all wonderful books. And he wrote in the foreword why he sprinted as a client, how his business was dependent from him all the time, and how the joy of running it was decreasing, and then how implementing those systems and systemizing the business really freed up a ton of time for himself, and now he can enjoy his friends, his hobbies, his family, and also his business more. And that's the foreword. And then in each chapter, there is a case of our clients and what they needed to solve, how we applied the tools to solve them in a very practical way.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic. And for anyone that's listening who works with clients and wants to kind of showcase the work that they do with clients, and I think the way that you set that out works really well. And also, as you say, having one of your clients write the forward. There are a couple of things I want to pick up on there. One is, you know, when you say it took me 17 years to write this book, and I think that's fantastic, because I think a lot of times you hear, you know, oh, I wrote my book in, you know, 2 weeks or 30 hours, whatever it was. But it's all that, all the kind of incubation period that goes on behind that, and where you're thinking about it. And I think people shouldn't discount that, because that's, even though you're not sitting in front of the computer actually writing, it's still part of the process, isn't it? It's still getting your information together, getting all your expertise.
It's life experience. I mean, there are books and books. I read many books. I'm a lover of books. I studied philosophy first before I had my first thought about business. I was a philosopher first. So I love books. I love thinking. I love books that really bring me somewhere deep. You know, something like Nietzsche, like Wittgenstein. That's the books that I like. They challenge me. They bring me somewhere. They bring me places. And, you know, for Wittgenstein, for Nietzsche or Hemingway, right? It was life experiences. Mm-hmm. Hemingway is maybe the most known as a person right now. So his background, they were all non-writers. Hemingway was a journalist. And so his experience was life and life in journalism. And then that's where he got his material from. And now when he writes about Paris, oh, wow, I really am in Paris.
Yeah.
So, but it comes from the real experience. And so yeah. I really am changed and transformed by the books, where you really feel that they were immersed in it, and then they tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a kind of a book that I wanted. That's why I just wrote one book in 21 years of business, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm not intending to write a second one.
Yeah.
Everybody's asking me, I say, no, in 17 years again.
Yeah. And how are you finding the book tour? I know you're very busy going on lots of different podcasts.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. And that's why I don't want to, you know, now it's 1 year of promotion. I'm on 6 podcasts every day. I'm on big stages of cool conferences. I love that. Yeah. I get to meet people. Because writing was a very, very lonely thing. It's mm-hmm. me on my desk, heads down, writing. And was very an introverted thing. And I missed being around people. And so now I fly, I sign books. I said, this is fun.
Yeah.
So I won't do this just for a year, just focus on promotion. And then let's see, whenever I have really something to say, I will write the second one. Might be in 1 year, might be in 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So two questions really I've got. When are people ready to start doing their strategy sprints and go and pick up your book? How do they know when they're ready to do that? At what stage in their business? And the second question I'll come on to afterwards, kind of jumping around a bit, is when do they know they're ready to write a book? So with those two hats on, my book coach hat and my business hat.
Yes. So when are you ready to read the book? As soon as you run a B2B business, you have to read the book. And it's just a couple bucks whenever you are. I think it's like $17 or something. You have. It's a bargain. It's mm-hmm. a bargain, and you have to read it. It will change your life. That's the book. Now, if they want a sprint coach, then they are ready when they're doing at least $35,000 per month in sales, and they want to double that to $70,000 in 90 days. Everything above 35K is even easier, but the minimum is 35K. And the reason is below 35K, you are still in research mode. You are trying stuff and finding, you know, the one that hits. Above 35K per month, you have found something that works. Now our tools are the perfect next thing. Now it's about simplifying, systemizing, automating, making it a machine that always works without you. So this is where we are strong. And then the question about the book.
Yeah.
When should they write a book? I think they shouldn't. I don't think anybody should write a book unless you have to. If you have to, yes. And you feel it when you have to. Like, look at Nietzsche. It was vital for him to write a book.
Yeah.
Existential.
Yeah.
And I think then you have to write a book.
And
it's like when you fall in love with somebody and you think all the time about it, well, then you have.
I think that's, and I think the listeners to this podcast, they already know, they know they want to write a book, you know, they wouldn't be here. So they know, and it's not a should, it's not kind of an external, oh, you need to write this book because it's going to help your business. No, they want to, they've got something that they need to share. They know they have to. Yeah, that's a really wonderful way to look at it. So is there a book you're currently reading and that you'd recommend to listeners?
Oh, I'm always reading multiple books. Mm-hmm. And yes, right now I'm reading a book by Sadhguru, and it's called Karma. And it's about this very misunderstood concept of karma. Yeah. And he talks about it on three levels, the body level, the mind level, and the life energy level. It's wonderful. It's from the perspective of a yogi. So it's a philosophy book, if you want, a yoga yogi philosophy book. I love it. He's a great practitioner. Somebody who did it for 50 years and now is telling. So he's somebody who is immersed, like Hemingway. And so it's a great read. I like it.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. So I'll put that link to that book and what you've mentioned, loads of different books while we've been chatting. So I'll put all those in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on. It's been absolutely great to chat to you.
Thank you. And if people want to grab some of the tools that we were talking about, they can grab them at strategiesprints.com.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, strategysprints.com. Any other links? Where's the first place people can find you? Is that head to your website?
That's the main place. And if you love Facebook, I have two channels where I report about my newest mistakes and learnings. One is called Simon Severino, one is called Strategy Sprints.
Fab. All right. Thanks a lot then, Simon.
Thank you. Keep rolling.
This episode is sponsored by my blogging course for coaches, consultants, and educators. Now live on the course creators platform Udemy and available at special offer to podcast listeners. Follow the link in the show notes and use the code BloggingCoursePod. If you've got anything you'd like me to talk about on the show, you know someone you'd like me to interview, or perhaps you'd like to be a guest, send me a DM on Instagram at Dr. Lizzie Tanguy or email me lizzie@lizzietanguy.com.